Hi, this is Swan.
And I'm Chris.
And you're listening to
Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Thanks for tuning in. I must admit, we've gotten stuck in a bit of a rut of not planning ahead and not having awesome guests. But I feel like we're still creating interesting shows, so hopefully you guys are getting stuff out of it. Last week we shared our favorite books, and that was a lot of fun to make, so I imagine it must have been relatively entertaining to listen to.
I was entertained just making the show.
I know. I feel like if we have fun making it, then it's probably okay.
That's all that matters.
It's good enough for that. This week we're going to talk about journaling, inspired by a new year, a new opportunity to write things down for this year, as opposed to last year and years of the future.
The future.
So, and when I mentioned it, Chris was excited to talk about his experience as a journaling teenager. Is that accurate? You journaled a lot as a kid and not so much now.
That's correct.
So let's talk about your journaling trajectory first, because I'm curious to hear. I'm intrigued.
Ooh, mine would probably be so much shorter. You're the journaling expert.
No, I just write a lot.
That makes you the expert.
First question, what's the difference between a journal and a diary? Is it gender?
Yeah, I feel like it tends to be gendered. I mean, so generally I don't think there's a real difference between a diary and a journal. It's just that traditionally women have diaries.
They're functionally a book with pages in it that you write in. So
yeah.
I've always favored the term journal. I don't know if that was like planted in my brain at some point that like, oh, a journal is better than a diary.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, I think regardless of your gender, there are some negative connotations with diaries, just because you get this sense like, oh, like dear diary, like I have a big...
Today I'm writing more superficial things for you.
I did this today. It was so great. Wow, wow, wow. And we've seen so much of that in popular culture. So
it's reinforced our ideas.
So I think there's more legitimacy to be like, oh yes, I have a journal.
Very, very refined.
Yeah, it's not a diary.
My other question is, did you ever name your journal?
No way.
No way.
I'm too literal for that.
That's why I had a hunch I already knew the answer. I actually did name my journal a couple different times, so...
Oh. Does the current one have a name?
No.
Just journal?
It actually, on the front of it, says Fabriano Classic Artist's Journal. So I guess maybe its name is Fabriano.
That's a pretty good journal name, I feel like.
Yeah, if you're going to have a journal name, Fabriano's like, I'm sure lots of other people have a journal with that on the front of it because it's mass produced, but it's a pretty good name.
Everyone can have their own Fabriano.
I don't remember all the names that I've given my journal over time. They're all in there, the journals. But I do know that I named it after my mom for a period of a couple months, which was kind of strange.
That's a really interesting choice.
Yeah, I think I was trying to foster a relationship that didn't exist.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, my mom doesn't pay attention to me. I'll write to her in my journal.
Oh.
That's okay. I'm all right.
Yeah, you're great.
I just have a lot of fun things that come up.
It's okay. I'm a fan of you and all your fun things.
But I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to listen to you talk about journaling.
I tried to evade it for as long as possible with my witty banter.
Here we are.
Dang it. Yeah, so I'm trying to think of how this started. Pretty young. I had I was given a journal, not a diary. No one ever gave me a diary. It's obviously a journal.
They wouldn't dare.
No way. I want to say maybe age 6 or 7. Which, looking back, I find kind of amusing that someone even thought of giving me a journal. Especially just because, you know, as we were saying before, it's like, girls were, you know, typically supposed to have diaries or whatnot, and then boys typically don't. It's not, I don't feel like that's a standard thing, at least as far as like gender stereotypes go. And seeing my parents fit pretty neatly within those, I'm pretty surprised looking back on it that they actually gave me one. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I requested one or whatnot. But yeah, so I got this journal. The early images are pretty great because I'm like six, so it's like a
really concise.
Yeah. Well, one or two sentence entries, usually a drawing as well. And then I wrote in it sporadically from there, probably over up through 16 or 17. And it was very literal.
Like, this is what happened today?
Yeah, I treated it kind of like those traveler journals, you know, where like Lewis and Clark or someone is like, oh yeah, we like, you know, we traversed 60 miles today and one person got killed by a bear and that was too bad, but we found some berries. That was great. It's like very literal. I like purposely avoided talking about my thoughts or feelings. I think mostly, not because I wasn't having them or wasn't conscious of them, but I think that for some reason I didn't think that was appropriate.
That wasn't what a journal was for.
Yeah.
Just don't use these things frivolously.
Yeah. It was like, this is almost supposed to be some kind of historical record so that thousands of years from now, the archaeologists could be like, oh yes,
this is what life was like for Chris Johnson.
Yes. He went to the movies.
2003.
Yeah. He went to the movies with his friends. He went to the pool and swam this many laps. He had this delicious dinner. Like, I...
Sounds like an exercise journal, nutrition journal, and like movie log wrapped up in one.
Pretty much. Actually, it's funny. I even remember the one time I did write about my feelings. Because it was such a like drastic change from the norm.
Uncomfortable? Was it about a girl?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Obviously, that would be the thing.
I know, that's a minor irritation of mine, is that when I do go back through my journals, I have more than one, I have a lot. I'm always like a little bit annoyed at myself for writing about boys so much. I'm like, come on, get a life. I'm like,
who are you?
Gloss over this really significant thing that happened in my life and in my day that like today would be really interesting to read about. But I didn't write that. I wrote about boys.
That's what the archaeologists want to hear about. Jesus. Anyhow. Like, nope. Who was Swan crushing on back in the day?
Lamenting. He didn't look at me.
I mean, I feel like that's pretty normal.
It still annoys me.
Okay.
I'm like reading over and I'm like, oh, I remember that. That's all I wrote about it? That's crazy.
There's so much more to the story.
Right. And now it's probably my memories have been modified by time. So anyways.
Yeah, well, this one was funny because it was like about a girl and I think just like me thinking that she was cute and having a crush on her and whatnot. And then I wrote it. And then at some point, I think it was, and pretty soon, like within the next week, I went back and I crossed it all out.
Mm.
And like really, you know, like that kind of crossing.
Like out. You're done. Nobody's ever going to read this.
Yeah. So that's pretty funny to think, to look back on, and just like this conscious censorship, or like, you know, I was feeling these strong emotions, strong enough that I was breaking my own rules and wanted to actually write about it, but then going back and be like, nope, this isn't allowed, we can't have this.
Has anything changed?
Yeah.
Now you just don't write.
Not true.
Okay.
I'll get to that shortly, but I think part of it was I didn't feel like my journal was safe in my house. Cause I'm like, my parents were nosy, and then I have two sisters who naturally, yeah,
everyone's nosy.
Yeah. So I felt like, I think that was the main reason for me going back and destroying that entry. I was worried that
no one can know.
Yeah. God forbid I have a crush on a girl. Everyone in my family will be so shocked. I don't know.
They'll be talking about it, yeah. And then everyone will get quiet when you walk into the room. And they'll be like, oh, hello, Chris.
Yeah. It is funny how much this like, it's so important in retrospect. It's like, really, I don't think anyone would have cared to know who I had a crush on.
Except your crush.
Right. Well, she didn't care either when she found out. So. <She's>, well. That's okay.
Shucks.
She would have been a bad choice for me, I think.
Okay. So, carry on.
Yeah, so that sort of stopped about halfway through high school, I think around 16 or so. Not fully sure why. I think I just stopped seeing the point of it, which makes sense if I was just being so...
If you weren't doing anything with it.
Yeah, if I was being so literal, then, yeah, like, what's, you know, what's the purpose in that? What does one get really out of that besides, like, oh, this very literal account of what I did with my days?
An eight.
Yeah. So I kind of moved away from journaling at all for a long time. And really in college, the only kind of personal writing I would do is I would write barely fictionalized stories.
Barely?
Yeah.
Like you changed a name?
Yeah. I'm not even sure if I could call them fiction. They might... I guess I never finished any of them, so it'd be hard to say, but they're... If they weren't nonfiction, they were very close to it. Heavily autobiographical.
They become screenplays?
Yeah, well, I did write a screenplay about my time in high school for a television writing course that I took. I don't know if that's quite journaling, though. Probably just dialing my experiences into creative pursuit. But yeah, that was about it for a long time. And then at some point, I don't know. I mean, journaling has not become a regular exercise for me since then. But I do find it helpful once in a while to put my thoughts and feelings to paper. Usually when I travel.
Yes, I feel like you write on your way home or shortly after.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess, I mean, as most people get inspired to write by traveling, so that's not unique by any means.
Break the monotony, suddenly you have ideas.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely seem to end up writing a bunch, not extensively, but definitely putting some thoughts and feelings to paper when I'm on a trip. Probably also because I mostly travel alone, and so it just helps to, you know, since a lot of times I love working through my thoughts and feelings in a dialogue with people. So I think being on these trips where a lot of times I'm not talking to a lot of people for an extended period, that maybe that's as a result, I feel need to put things down on paper.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, that's about it. I mean, I have a book currently that I guess you could call a journal, but like it's sort of my brain on paper.
This?
No, this is just, I have a little notepad I'm holding, and this is like my travel journal, I guess. But I have a thin hardcover book, and that's, it's not journaling, but it's sort of my brain on paper, because it's like lists of things and, maybe like, ideas for videos I want to make, or
for videos you want to make.
Yeah.
Oh.
What? or places I want to go, or like these people I should invite to my birthday.
Yeah. Well, you also you keep a lot of lists. You keep a lot of lists digitally. For you, is there any like conscious like differentiation of like, this is a handwritten list, this is a list I'm gonna put on a Google document?
Yeah, I mean, I think the longer term lists I like digitally, just because it's easier to stay organized. Obviously I can access it virtually anywhere. And some of those lists grow so long. I mean, obviously the most infamous one for anyone who knows me is the list of all the films I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
That started out written, but quickly spiraled out of control.
Yeah. That seems like a lot.
Yeah. But, I do sometimes when I'm, again, I guess sort of similar to when I'm working through, thoughts and feelings. Sometimes it's I find it really satisfying to write a list on paper.
I like crossing things off, which is why I like paper.
Mm.
It's a really satisfying feeling of putting a line through something.
Yeah.
Did that.
Yeah, well, that's for those who don't know, Swan got me a Christmas gift that was a dry erase board, which now sits in our room. And one of the things I did over my holiday break is I had this list of technical goals and social goals. So the former being like camera and software equipment I wanted to work on and get to know better, and social goals just being friends I want to see. And yeah, it was very satisfying to check things off and be like, oh, I've done these things, or I've seen these people.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other thoughts you're holding?
That's probably about it for now. Yeah, there might come out more as we go, but I feel like that's a pretty decent history of my journaling exploits.
Pretty good overview.
Yeah.
I'll give you my 2 cents. The oldest journal I have is something similar. My aunt, whom I actually look a lot like, gave me this book, All About Me, and it was full of all these questions. I looked through it now, and I was in a huge rush to get through it. So it was like, describe your mom. I'm like, my mom is pretty, thanks. Like, I was just like,
hurry.
My dad is the best. Okay, tell me about your favorite birthday. My favorite birthday is the one I just had, because I just had it. Okay, next. So, this is like very childish answers with not a lot of details, but it's funny. Like, draw a picture of your family, and I have like very crude line, like stick figure faces, and they're not in proportion at all. Like, my face is huge, and I remember, like, one of my sisters was like a tiny little dot, and then the rest of my family was like somewhere in between, and not relative to size either. So it was interesting.
Sounds great. I would love to see this if it's
Jesus. And then I didn't journal for a long time after that, believe it or not, and started again partway through middle school. And that's all just about boys.
Fair.
I mean, really glean a lot about my life from that.
I mean, I feel like most middle school girls' diaries or journals probably.
Hormones.
Yeah.
There is nothing else, only procreation. I don't understand. And then I don't write every day. And sometimes I'll get busy and stop writing, which is the ironic thing, because when I'm busy doing interesting things is the time to document all the things. But I let slack. I used to do long, like, catch up entries of like, hey, I haven't written since this day. Let me catch you up on all the things that happened.
Yeah.
I don't really do that anymore. I feel like my journals now are very much, I think in a lot of ways my river writing has influenced my journaling in the sense that it's very much just kind of a flow, purge, sometimes very graphic vomit of what's going on in my inside my head. And so in that sense, like when things in my life get really crazy, I will sometimes sit and write it out, and then like it's out of my brain and I feel better. But I carry something with me everywhere I go, something to write with as a rule I have, just in case I need to write something down. And for me, I love the tactile nature of handwriting as opposed to typing. I always think how much more efficient things would be if I could typed them and had like documents that I could access.
Yeah.
But it never pans out because when push comes to shove, I just want a paper and a pen and a blank page.
Yeah, well, this is why, I mean, I feel like I've read quite a bit about how much more active our brains are when we're writing instead of typing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it taps into our potential in a way that...
it's different.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think if you tried to switch to journaling via typing on a regular basis, it'd probably be very different.
Because I have online journals, too, right, that I've tried to make. And I, for a long time, I guess it's still in process, although it's been on hiatus for a while. I was transcribing all of my journals. So all of those online journals got copied and pasted into a giant file that's supposedly my life, according to me.
Nice.
But yeah, it's, that feels like work.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is work, but then I guess there's also a question of like, in the long term, do you want to, I mean, as you keep writing, it's like, do you want to carry around like dozens and dozens of
two boxes of books?
Yeah,
well, no, actually. I also do, this gets tricky when I'm in a relationship, just because my time is not always my own, but I do really like writing down my dreams first thing in the morning. I feel like when I do that, I remember my dreams more, and that is something that is interesting to go back and read and be like, I remember that dream. Oh, that's so weird. something that, you know, created by my unconscious mind while I'm sleeping, I'll go back a year later and like have really still a visceral, vivid experience of like, oh yeah, that's weird. Better than like the latest boy that I'm crushing.
I don't know. That latest boy is pretty great from what I hear.
Yeah, he's all right. He's still here. That's credit to him.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, that's I don't ever remember dreams unless I am not sleeping well and I have like really short, shallow sleep. So when I wake up, if I have like a normal sleep and I wake up, there's nothing there to
you're like, and now I'm awake.
Yeah, again,
maybe you're a cyborg.
Seeing some evidence for it.
Yeah.
But I wrote that one entry.
Oh, yeah. And then you destroyed it.
Yes.
I did go back. That is an interesting thing, too. I became very religious at some point in high school. And I went back through all of my journals and I sharpied out all of the swear words.
Really?
And all of like the things that I was like, similar to you, that I was like, I don't want someone to read this.
Yeah.
You can still read it because it's like Sharpie over a ballpoint pen, but I was sure, like, what a desecration. But I also have a fantasy. This is not related to anything, but I have a fantasy of someday when I actually finish transcribing all of my journals and back them up, I just want to put them all in a pile and burn them.
That could be, I feel like that could be pretty fulfilling.
Be like, bye. But then I've had so many people like, no,
Like, why?
So, I don't know. People think that's sacred for some reason.
I feel like, I don't know. I don't place much stock in bric-a-brac, and I feel like if you're the thoughts and feelings are what are most important there, and so if those.
But then again, like, what if I go back and read about a dream that I didn't like, that I can't, I don't know, like, that I don't have anymore because I burned it, and it's not going to come to me just because, it's going to come to me by rereading it.
Right. But I mean, if you transcribe everything,
yeah,
then you have it.
In theory.
And then you can, like, in theory, meta-tag, I know, search that, dream.
I know. That's why it's like this. I feel like I can only burn it if I have a copy somewhere, which is maybe, like, defeats the purpose of burning it.
Yeah.
In some, like, psychosomatic way. Anyways, thanks for tuning in. This is Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you just started listening, we're talking today about journals. We just talked about our, life experiences with journals. And, now what are we going to talk about?
I still want to talk a little bit more about what we were just talking about a minute or so ago.
Which is?
Oh, I just, like, I'm just interested by this idea that there is something to be gained by going back to your journals. Do you go back to them on a...
Not regularly. I probably... I think the last time I went through them was because I was moving.
Yeah.
And that's typically when I kind of open up the box and I'm like, oh, do I want these? No. But I don't want to get rid of them yet. So I guess they're coming with me again.
Yeah. Do you... I mean, when you open them up, do you feel like you get something out of rereading them besides just the...
I just get annoyed with myself. I'm really self-critical. There are interesting spots. There was a period of time where someone had given me... It was some church thing, I'm certain of it. Someone had given me a bag of cut questions, so like a paper printed and then cut off, so there's only one question per slip.
Oh,
and there's just like 1,000 slips of paper. And I went through, and similar to my first journal, answered every question, and sometimes
nice work
in great detail, and sometimes in like, yep, I do.
Like, gotta
do
get
you
the
like
done.
Candy, I love candy, next question. But this leads into something that I do like to use my journal for, and that's consciously carving out gratitude, writing. Occasionally I like to set 100-day goals for myself. And so this was one of those 100-day goals, is for 100 days, just like spend 5 minutes writing about the things that I'm grateful for. And I feel like that is, if you haven't tried it, it's a really nice way to become more aware of how blessed you are. Hopefully.
Yeah.
But just, I mean, what you focus on tends to get bigger, right?
Definitely. I mean, I don't think, I have trouble imagining how it would hurt to reflect on what you're grateful
for. Oh, man, I'm so grateful for everything. It's the worst.
Ugh.
Did you ever draw in your journals?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, I think I mentioned before, definitely did some really basic drawings when I was a kid. There are some great ones of like me and my friend Neil, like playing baseball.
No.
And I still now occasionally like to doodle things.
Yeah, I call it scribbling, because then it takes the pressure off for it to actually look like anything. But I'll just like sit and scribble and see what comes out. Very, very loose. If you haven't picked it up yet, I'm a very like loose guidelines person. I'm like, yeah, I kind of do this.
Anytime I think about doodling it, I always remember I spent one summer working in a particular office, and the office manager there was, she was a great woman, but she was definitely kind of a ditz. And her, my favorite line of hers is, she came out of this meeting once and she was like, "Oh, that meeting took forever. I can only doodle for so long." I can't, anytime people bring up drawing or doodling or scribbling, that's all I can think of. But I think it's can serve a lot greater usage than just fulfilling boredom.
Yeah, filling time and space.
Yeah, sometimes it's, I mean, just as the same, it's nice to put thoughts and feelings in paper. Sometimes it's nice to sketch something out, whether it's, you know, something definitive, or just moving pen or pencil across paper and seeing what comes along.
Right.
Yeah. I will say my journal I had as a kid was also kind of a multimedia journal, because I would put different kinds of documents in.
Oh, I love that. I had a period of time where I kept movie stubs, and I purged a lot of them when I moved across the country. I was like, I don't need this stuff. But it is fun to go back through and be like, oh yeah, I went and saw this play. Still have the playbill.
Yeah, I was like, here's a map to the aquarium. Stuff like that. I actually don't have my journal anymore, though.
I got rid of it.
Yeah, I threw it out.
Tossed it. Get rid of this shit.
Yeah, I don't.
So you don't have the sensation of going through your journal years and years later because you don't have it anymore.
Exactly. I don't. I have trouble holding on to things that don't seem to serve.
Don't have an immediate purpose.
Yeah.
Am I going to use this? No.
Yeah.
Bye. Brutal.
Yeah, it means a lot of all that like childhood stuff that a lot of people hold on to. I'm like, you know what? This is great that I made this as a child and whatnot.
I mean, sometimes I'll come across stuff like that. Like, my mom had a folder of drawings, and I was so grateful that she did that. She still has it somewhere. It's just like, it's a bunch of drawings, random things that I had sent her or made that she decided to keep. And I was just like, oh, this is really cool.
Yeah, I'll definitely, if I have kids, I'll definitely hold on to their stuff.
Just not yours.
Yeah.
They're like, Daddy, tell us about this. Whoop. All from memory.
Exactly.
It's all hearsay.
Yeah, if I'm a cyborg, it'll be perfect anyhow. Besides, that journal was so literal that it would be the same. It's probably
It would help your children understand how your brain works. This is a journal. This is how you do it. This is what it's for. Documenting the facts for archaeologists to discover in 200 years.
Exactly.
Have you ever done any kind of a time capsule thing?
You know, I was... I've thought about that from time to time. I've always held off. I don't know why, but I've definitely thought a lot about like writing myself a letter.
And I did one for myself when I turned 25, and so much changed that when I was 25 and I opened it, I was like, "Oh, there, 16-year-old me."
Oh, wow. Yeah. That must have.
Yeah. So a lot of the things that I was like, 25-year-old self, please do this. I was like, no.
I'll pass. Thank
We're
you.
We're not doing that anymore. Thanks. So, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it definitely could be interesting to write one and just like ask myself some questions and be like, are you still committed to these?
Are you still writing down what you did, what you ate for dinner, and how many laps you swam?
Yeah, just like, you know, are these ideas still important to you? Are these still your goals in life? I don't know. It's a little scary, though, because
then you have to own it.
Yeah, I mean, because it could be, I mean, in your case, it sounded like it was somewhat amusing because they were so far off the mark.
Amusing, but I mean, sweet.
Yeah.
I wasn't upset.
Right. But I feel like mine would be a pretty serious one, and so I don't know.
Because you're so serious.
I'm the serious one.
No, I'm the serious one. Jesus.
I don't know. It could be a little, I mean, I think the right one now for my 36-year-old self or whatnot would be, I don't know, could be a little daunting.
I like to go to the place that scares you, so I would highly encourage you to do that for the mere, for the fact that it seems daunting. That seems like a reason to try.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Noted. Thank you. Next. Well, let's do our river writing really fast, and then we can talk a little bit more about some ideas for journaling if you have never journaled before, and if you have journaled a lot, maybe some ways to like enhance it. Deal?
Deal.
We had a kind of a strange poem this time.
Yeah, this is
very long phrases.
I struggle with this one.
So the poem is by someone that I like, and I like the poem, but it's also, I don't know. I don't understand it yet. It's called Poetry. It's by Marianne Moore. And so for river writing, we just read a poem and then you grab the line or the idea that's standing out to you and you use that as a starting place for a timed write. And it's very like low stress, pen to the page, not worrying about spelling or editing. You're just like writing train of thought. If you don't like the prompt or you run out of things to say, you can do, you know, things like what I really want to say is blank or I remember blank. It's a good place to start.
Or just write blank and call it a day.
Or you can just do a bunch of blanks if you feel so inclined. But it's just kind of gets you started writing. So it's a nice, and it's low key. It doesn't have to be good because we just did it in like now, and we didn't edit it, we didn't clean it, we didn't.
I sent mine off to the editor and got a little polish.
Anyways, so Poetry by Marianne Moore. I too dislike it. There are things that are important beyond all this fiddle. Reading it, however, with a perfect contempt for it, one discovers that there is in it, after all, a place for the genuine. Hands that can grasp, eyes that can dilate, hair that can rise, if it must. These things are important, not because a high-sounding interpretation can be put upon them, but because they are useful. When they become so derivative as to become unintelligible, the same thing may be said for all of us, that we do not admire what we cannot understand. The bat holding on upside down, or in quest of something to eat, elephants pushing, a wild horse taking a roll, a tireless wolf under a tree, the immovable critic twinkling his skin like a horse that feels a flea, the baseball fan, the statistician, case after case could be cited, did one wish it, nor is it valid to discriminate against the business documents and school books. All these phenomena are important. One must make a distinction, however. When dragged into prominence by half poets, the result is not poetry. Nor till the autocrats among us can become literalists of the imagination, above insolence and trivility, and can present for inspection imaginary gardens with real toads in them, shall we have it. In the meantime, if you demand on the one hand, in defiance of their opinion, the raw material of poetry in all its rawness, and that which is, on the other hand, genuine, then you are interested in poetry. So let's have fun with that. Do you care to read what came out of that?
Sure. nothing great, but what the heck. Okay.
No judgment.
Maybe. I've always loved the written word, but not poetry. I'll read all kinds of books, from historical novels to a compendium pterosaurs, but I will veer away from any volume of poems. Obviously, there are individual poems I've enjoyed, but on the whole, the medium tends to not speak to me. I seem to like my written words fairly grounded. I find this strange because my taste in film is much more adventurous. I can think of at least one memorable sequence, a visual poem, during which others walked out of the movie theater in rage while I sat enthralled. Abstracted images can reach my heart in a way that, in a way the verbal equivalent does not. But I remain open. Poetry comes in so many forms and variations that I feel reluctant to fully close its door. For now, I lie in wait.
Poetry's rough. Thank you.
Yep.
My response, reply, my writing. We do not admire what we cannot understand. There is something that we get, we see, we acknowledge, that touches us or we appreciate it, the effort, the planning. I think of the things that for me inspire awe. There are moments of awake or presence that I try and create each day, feeling the wind blowing against my cheek, finding wonder at how the weather can so easily affect my spirit if I am not paying attention. And sometimes accepting a worry, a fear, or a pain suddenly dissolves it, and I am left in awe of the world and myself. And I think on some level, the things I do not understand. I look at the sky, and while I know, quote unquote, what it is, I doubt I will ever really understand. I think of the people I admire, performers, musicians, artists, and I try to pin down what it is that inspires my admiration. According to this poem, I understand something about what they are doing. Does this mean I must, on some level, understand myself? Because honestly, when I think about it, I have no fucking clue. So there's that.
Nice. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks for thanking me for the sharing.
Thanks for... just kidding.
We just keep going and going and going. So if you were trying to keep a journal this year, I have two ideas. One of them is pretty simple. Just thinking about how today was different, which can maybe be a challenge when things get monotonous. But just, you know, when you sit down, how is today different? And the other thought is a little bit more daunting, but if you Google bullet journal, there's kind of this format that's, I think actually Chris would like it because of it's very logical in its approach. It can be overwhelming because there's a table of contents. You're breaking things down into months, into weeks, into years. But it's an interesting way to expedite goals. Google it. There's a YouTube video that's really fantastic. You might have to watch it a couple times, but bullet journaling is a thing. Check it out. If you start journaling because of it, awesome. If you have been journaling a lot and you're looking to spice up things, I think rereading your journal and finding unresolved projects and revisiting them is this something I still am interested in can be a value. And then also trying timed writing exercises. And then the last thing I will say is if you haven't heard about The Morning Pages by Julia Cameron, mentioned in her book, The Artist's Way. Long story short, first thing you do in the morning, wake up, write 3 pages, and then just be done with it. A very lauded creative tool. Nasa also was going to share some experiences that she's had with journaling. And so let's listen to that.
Hello, this is Nace Lozano reporting live but now pre-recorded from my apartment in Brooklyn, and I'm here to share some of my thoughts about journaling. I have always wanted to be a journaler. When I was a kid, it seemed like the thing a girl is supposed to do, like a girl's supposed to keep a diary so that her bratty brother can find it and then they can get into fights and then, like, hilarity ensues or touching moments ensue. I don't know, depending on which TV show you watch and if it's a very special episode or not. And so I would always beg my parents for different journals or diaries or whatever, the ones with locks, the ones that have, like, super special codes, electronic ones before the days of computers or personal computers or before personal computers were accessible for children. But I would always end up with like notebooks only a couple of pages filled, which is something that I carry on to today. My household is filled with notebooks that only have the first three pages done, to the point where I'm no longer allowed to buy a new notebook, even if I start a new project, because that's the thing that always gets me, is I decide upon a new project that I need a notebook just for that project. And then inevitably I forget that notebook in the midst of that project and then use a different notebook. And so now my notes are spread out throughout two or three notebooks and they're never cohesive and it never makes sense. And so I've just cut it. I've just stopped. Back to journalism, or journaling rather. When I was a kid, my journals were only about boys. I was obsessed with boys and family troubles. So a lot of them would be, why doesn't this kid like me? Why doesn't this boy like me? I was actually really touched by one that was about a fight my mom and I had had on Christmas. It was really sad and like surprisingly in depth and a little just kind of traumatic, I guess. I asked the question of, why doesn't my mother like me? Like, I'm sure she loves me, but I don't think she likes me. And I was rereading it, I guess like a year or two ago, so not recently, but recently in consideration to when I had written it. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I feel so bad for me. But then it ended with, and also this boy doesn't like me. I was just sitting there like, God damn it, Nasa, you're going to do fine. You're going to get some, like, calm down on the boys. And then 9/11 happened and the world shifted in a way that I was somewhat aware of. I was still very young, but I was aware that something important was happening. And I had just read the diary of Anne Frank and I realized how important journals were in terms of keeping, of being a first-hand documentation of things that are happening in the world, of big events that are happening in the world, both for you and for future generations. Sidebar here, I'm a huge proponent of like 1,000 years from now, when archaeologists are digging up ancient Brooklyn and find my household objects, what are they going to tell them about how I lived my life? So the diary was something that I was like, I have to keep a thorough diary of this because this is a big world event. And once again, I'm letting you in to Nasa's summary of her diary at 11. And it was something akin to, there was a meteor shower that night, one that was supposed to come like once every 20 years or something. So I wrote about that. It's like, there are a lot of stars in the sky. People say this will be unique. Why doesn't this boy like me? I like him so much. Why doesn't he like me back? Also, there is a war. And I reread that years later, just thinking like, oh, Nasa, trying so hard to be so deep and proving to be far more shallow than you knew. But the effort was there. I gave up journaling relatively shortly after that, only to write, I guess, poems. I'll write out poems every once in a while in my journals. And sometimes they're surprisingly good. I surprise myself with that. But they always end badly. It's always like, ah, you're right there, Nasa. But that's why we rewrite and rewrite instead of just writing them in journals that we never look at and then hiding them forever. But yeah, I basically gave up journaling at that point just because I realized that I wasn't using it for any particular purpose. I would actually use it to get through problems that I couldn't talk about with anyone else. And I think that once I started to have people that I could speak with, it became a lot easier. And then my journaling lost its primary focus or like primary form. A friend of mine and I were talking because my brain has gone back into, oh, this is going to be a really trying time. I should start a journal again just in case, just for the future, for future generations, et cetera, exact same thought process I had around 9/11, because this is, I think, as shocking or as terrible. Sorry if you don't feel that way. Don't mean to be offensive. And she had said to me, like, that makes sense, and you can if you want to, but nowadays, that's what social media is for. And I was like, wow, you're right. You know, in a before where I used to write down events of the day or things that I had thought about, something special that had happened to me, or something I was having a problem with in my journal, now I'm writing it on social media. But the problem is that that's not fully who I am, and I feel like I've lost in the eventuality of my not writing in a journal, I've lost the introspection that used to come with it, because I don't like oversharing on social media. Some people do, and that's really awesome. I've never felt comfortable with that. And I think because of that, I'm not having the connection that I used to have with myself that comes along with journaling. But I think that my biggest problem with journaling comes from the fact that I always thought it had to be a certain way or like be in a certain format. This is completely stemmed from my watching TV, which I think has led me astray on a lot of things, just in life in general. Television is a lot of fun, but it is not the real world, and I must remember that. Anyway, I always thought that the journal entries had to be kind of like a letter to your journal or to your inner self. Dear diary, today this happened. Dear diary, I saw this today. And so I think I don't think that way. I mean, I do. A lot of times I do think that way, but it's not natural to like write things out or to work through problems like that. I'm bringing this up because the more I think about it, the more I realize in small ways I do keep journaling even nowadays, although it's not the traditional sense. It's not all in one cohesive book. Oftentimes it's not even in a book. It's on paper or on like sticky notes because I work in an office, or on scratch paper, or in the corner of documents that I shouldn't be writing on. And it, instead of it being a full sentence or a whole thought, it's like, ah, or stop talking, or why is this person continuing this, da 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 da, and I'll just write out a couple of sentences or a couple of thoughts or a couple of words even sometimes, you know, red, gramophone, blankety blank, and then start working off of that. And I would never have considered that in the past a journal or journaling or anything of that sort, but the more I think about it, the more I talk about my journaling history and my journaling experience, I realize that I have to include this in it, those instances of like scrap writing, I don't know what to call them, where I express myself through photos or words or in like a dorky sense, word font. Word font is my favorite way to express myself. And I get a lot out in those, and then they just end up being thrown away, which the more I think about it, the more I'm like, that's too bad, because those probably have a lot of as much value as anything I wrote when I was in middle school, pining over a boy, as you do. I think I'm going to end my musings with this, not necessarily promise, but kind of aspiration. As I had mentioned earlier, we are in a time where no matter what your feelings are, you can see that a giant shift is happening and that there's tension and that there's not good tension. There's very bad tension in the United States and in the world and in everything. I feel like we're at this really big turning point, and I don't know what it's going to turn into. If you are thinking about getting back into journaling, which I am, I think that this would be the time, because right now is the time that we need the introspection and we need the, I guess, free therapist and the getting to know ourselves. And also, as I keep coming back to, this is an important time period in this world. And maybe we need to keep it down on paper, our experiences and our thoughts for future generations, even if it's just our future generations, as opposed to millions of years in the future in some sort of museum. So, food for thought.
Thanks for listening to Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn. Make sure you check out our communities. I would love to hear what you're reading, what you're writing, what you think of the show. Yeah, pretty open to that. And Radio Free Brooklyn is a really fun community, and we have lots of events and just supporting, you know, freeform radio with all of the potential possibilities. And I will leave you with a word: take it or leave it, or attend.
The times we had, oh, when the